chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, praise the Lord, verse 43. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits, more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. I feel like the Lord's led me tonight to talk about keeping your deliverance. Keeping your deliverance. Amen. That's important. Amen. I want to keep what God's given me. I want to keep the victory. I want to keep the healing. I want to keep the blessing. I want to keep the breakthrough. Come on. So many times people, they have a breakthrough and the Lord does a great work, but a week or two later, they're right back where they were before. I want to keep what God's doing. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated tonight. Our world is a dark, dark place. One of the things about people who've been raised in the church, they don't know the darkness of this world. Young people who are born into the church are, for the most part, sheltered from the depths of sin, and they don't know what it's like to be lost, to experience the things of this world. And so the enemy tries to convince them a lot that they're missing out on something by being in the church. You know, missing out of this and that, and can't, you know, be involved in this or whatever it is. But it's those in the world that are missing out. They are the ones that are lacking something great. Backslidden Pentecostals are some of the most miserable people in existence today, because they know the goodness of God. Come on, somebody. God's been good to them, and they know what it's like to be blessed of God and to feel His presence and His love and His power and His Spirit. And so when they are bound by darkness, they know deep down, even though they're trying their best to live a great life of sin and enjoy everything the world says that they were missing out on, but they know deep down that there's a better way. As dark as our world is today, it's really no worse than when God came to this earth in the form of a man, Jesus Christ. And we read in John chapter 8, verse 12, Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Is anybody thankful that Jesus Christ is the light of the world? Amen? Hallelujah. We don't have to walk in darkness anymore. We don't have to be bound by sin any longer. We don't have to live in chains. There's freedom. There's deliverance. Hallelujah. There's victory. There's healing. There's hope. Hallelujah. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, we read, And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went out throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. Now, without Jesus, these people had nowhere to turn. They had no hope, and there was many types of diseases and torments, There were those possessed with devils. There were those that were lunatic, those who had the palsy. Now, that's King James English. That's those who had seizures or were paralyzed. All of these different conditions that were going on, but they came to Jesus and he healed them. Has anybody noticed that there's more sick people today than ever before? Doctors can't keep up with all their patients. Just try to get in to see a doctor. It's going to take a little bit, especially if it's some kind of specialist. Emergency rooms are packed out all the time, full of people who need healing. Doctors and nurses, they're doing all they can, but they don't have all the answers. Mental institutions do their best, but today there's more people than ever who are living without hope. And if somebody is possessed or oppressed by a devil, good luck, because nobody wants to touch that. Even a lot of churches. Sadly, even some apostolic churches, they don't want to do anything, have anything to do with people that are bound by demons. And so the work that Jesus came for, it was not meant to stop when he ascended to heaven. And his plan is that it continue. In Luke chapter 9 and verse 1, we read, "Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick." In the next chapter, Luke chapter 10, it says in verse 1, "After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also." So there was 12 at first, and then there was another 70. "And sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come." All right, so we got 12. Now we've got another 70. Then he said in verse 9, he said, "Heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you." Reading on in verse 17 through 20, "And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." Now, if you'll notice with me, the 70 returned. They were rejoicing. They were rejoicing that the devils were subject unto them through the name of Jesus Christ. But notice what Jesus said. Yes, they had power over all the power of the enemy, but that's not what they were to rejoice about. That's not what they were to get excited over, but rather because their names were written in heaven. Hallelujah. What does that mean? The power that Jesus had given them over sickness and over disease and over evil spirits, that wasn't what was extraordinary. That was just part of doing God's work. That should just be something that Christians do. It should just be common that we pray for healing, that we pray for deliverance, that people receive freedom and victory over sin and over addiction and over disease. That should just be normal. Don't even get excited about that, Jesus said, but rather rejoice that your name's written in heaven. Somehow today, I believe the church has forgotten what God has called us to do. He did not call us to live in bondage. He did not call us to be bound by darkness. He didn't call us to be bound with chains. But he said, I want you to be free. I paid the price for you to have victory. I paid the price for you to receive freedom over sin, over addiction, over disease. Hallelujah. So first there were 12, and then there were 70. Then it was extended to every believer. Turn to somebody and say, that means us. That means you. That means me. Jesus said in Mark chapter 16, verse 17, "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them." We don't go looking for danger, okay? We don't go do stupid stuff, you know, but thank God that he does protect us, amen? "They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Deliverance did not stop with Jesus. It didn't end with the 12 disciples or the 70 disciples. It is for every single believer. Come on, it is not God's will that we be bound. It's not God's will that we be bound by sin, by sickness, by disease, by fear, by anxiety. Jesus paid the price that we could be free. Hallelujah. He gave us power over darkness. Thank God there's freedom from addiction, amen? Thank God there's freedom from drugs and alcohol. Thank God there's freedom from pornography and other addictions. Thank God there's freedom from bitterness and anger and jealousy and on and on and on. There's freedom available in Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Amen. I can tell some of you have been there. You have been bound. You have struggled. You have lived with chains binding you, but you know what I'm talking about. There's freedom. Woo! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Sometimes you can tell who's been set free and who hasn't, because those that have experienced it firsthand, you can't keep them quiet. You can't shut them down. They're thankful for what God's done for them. Hallelujah. When I think about the Lord and all he's done for me, I can't help but give him praise. I can't help but give him worship. He's worthy of my praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yeah, you might look around and think, what are these people so excited about? You don't know where I came from. You don't know what I've battled. You don't know what kind of darkness I used to live in. You don't know what kind of trouble used to plague my every single day. But Jesus Christ saw fit to pull me out of darkness. He saw fit to say, I want you to have a better life. I want you to have victory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I praise you, God. I worship you, Jesus. What's Pastor so excited about tonight? I want to just slip in and take it easy, and here he's wanting me to worship or something like that. You might just need to be delivered from something tonight. Praise the Lord. There's many times that people receive their freedom, their victory, over whatever it is they're struggling with when they're baptized or when they receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues. And many times they realize they're free from that point on. Maybe they didn't even... weren't expecting it, but it happened. And they stop having a craving for cigarettes, or they stop being bound by alcohol or some other addiction. But sometimes it just happens. When they're born again, it happens. There's other times that it takes additional prayer. Sometimes it's enough for somebody to pray on their own. Other times they may need somebody to pray with them. To literally pray against the spirit of fear or anxiety, spirit of infirmity, maybe addiction or anger, whatever it might be. But there is freedom. There is freedom through Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'll never forget Sister McCoy and I meeting with the family one time, this was some time ago, but all of a sudden that man said, I need you to pray for me. And we said, well, what do you need prayer for? And And all of a sudden, something just took hold of him. And he was visibly shaking. He said, "It's anger. It's anger." And we hadn't done anything. We were just trying to talk to him, help him with something. But all of a sudden, anger took hold of him. Well, right there, we started praying against the spirit of anger. And there was something that changed, and something transformed in that man. And I want to tell you, there are people literally that are struggling with attitudes, with bitterness, with unforgiveness. They're struggling with infirmity in their body. They're struggling with the spirit of fear that is crippling them to where they can't go work a regular job, and they can't get out in the community, and they stay at home all the time because they're so fearful, and anxiety is so heavy on them. Folks, we don't have to live bound by those things, but there's victory. There is freedom. There is help and hope. Praise the Lord. Can anybody testify here tonight that Jesus has set you free? Come on. Whether it was addiction or fear or sickness or sin, but at some point in your life you were bound by something. Come on. That should encourage us here tonight. It's real. It's real. It's a lie from the enemy that we have to just put up with stuff. He's already paid the price that we could be set free. Hallelujah, hallelujah, praise the Lord. So I didn't know what kind of church we're in. I just needed to establish here tonight that we believe in victory. Amen. We believe in healing. Hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God. But the important thing is, now that we receive healing and victory and a miraculous touch from God, now that we've been blessed and had a breakthrough, how do we keep it? How do we keep it? How do we keep our deliverance? Amen. We don't want to lose it. So what do we do to keep it? Number one, we must be born again. We must be born again. Many times people want the blessings of God without giving their life to Him. Lord, they want prayer for healing or for victory over their problem or whatever their need is. And they want freedom from anxiety or maybe some other spirit that's attacking them. But unless they're ready to be born again, they could end up worse off than they were in the beginning. What does it mean to be born again? There's a lot of ideas out there about what that means. Some say, well, just accept the Lord as your personal Savior. That's really not in the Bible. Did you know that? The sinner's prayer that many people use today, it was actually developed by some evangelists that they wanted to have big numbers of people that were saved in their revivals, and so they started using the sinner's prayer. And of course, sinners need to pray. But the sinner's prayer is not being born again, not according to Jesus. What did Jesus say about it? In John chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, unto Nicodemus, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" He's like, okay, what does this mean, this born again? Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." On the day of Pentecost, Peter, he got up and preached to the crowd that was there, and he told them how to be born again. Acts 2:38, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." That's what it means to be born again. And if we want to keep our deliverance, you need to be born again. We read earlier where Jesus said in Matthew 12:43, "When an unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it also be unto this wicked generation." Water baptism is a cleansing. It's a cleansing. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. But when the house is clean, don't leave it empty. Don't leave it empty. Hallelujah. We've got to be filled with the Spirit of God. We've got to say, Lord, I need to be filled with the gift of your Spirit, the gift of the Holy Ghost. And the evidence of that, according to the Bible, is they spoke with tongues. Hallelujah. So we got to fill the house. Don't just leave it empty after it's clean. I don't want those spirits to come back and say, oh, here's a nice place. It's been clean and made ready for me. No. You're not welcome here. This is not your home anymore. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But we've got to stay full of the Holy Ghost. That means we've got to pray. We've got to stay in an atmosphere of prayer and worship and seeking the presence of God. Amen. So the number one key to keeping our deliverance, our blessing, our breakthrough, our healing is to be born again. The second key to keeping our deliverance, and I'm just going to say it like this, shut the door. Turn to somebody, tell them, you got to shut the door. How many of you go walk around your house at night before you go to bed and you make sure all the doors and the windows are shut and locked and then go to sleep? Is it, you know, anybody? Those of you that don't, okay, we're checking because we're... Why do we do that? Because we don't want to let anyone or anything in during the night, you know? Amen. Now, if you leave the door open, you don't know what could come in. The other day, somebody left the door open at our house, and a cute little chipmunk made its way in. We got it out. We got it out, and he may have made it. I don't know. We tried our best. We tried our best. But do you know how much havoc a chipmunk could cause in a house? I know they're cute and everything, but if somebody lives in a neighborhood that's full of crime and full of trouble, people getting robbed and killed and all that, and they just decide they're going to leave the doors open, unlocked, that's not very intelligent. And if they just decide to leave the door unlocked, but also to leave it wide open and the light on, that's crazy. That's crazy. We wouldn't do that. We're going to lock everything up. We're going to be sitting there with a shotgun. If there's trouble, we're going to be ready for it, you know? I mean, you do what you do, I'll do what I do, but anyway. Okay, now, that's in the natural. That's in the natural. How much more do we need to be mindful of what we leave open in the spiritual? There's some people that have given more thought to how to protect themselves in the natural than they've ever thought about the spiritual things. And they leave the door wide open to the devil. Come on. They leave doors open all of the time. They may pray, they may rebuke the devil, but they don't understand why they're still dealing with stuff from the enemy. But if the door is open, he's going to come in. Resist the devil, not invite him in. There's some places we don't need to be going. There's some things we don't need to do. There's some people we don't need to be hanging around. There's some things we don't allow into our home. There's some movies that we don't watch. Come on, there's some books. We don't let those in our house. There's some music we don't listen to because it's leaving the door open to the enemy. I don't remember who it was exactly, so they may be here tonight, but there was a certain person that talked to me a couple of years ago and said, you know, I'm just having these dreams about witches and witchcraft and troubling things and all this stuff. And I said, well, what kind of doors are we leaving open? What kind of movies you watch and all this kind of stuff? Come to find out they were reading Harry Potter books. I said, you need to take that, you need to throw it away at the least, burn it if you can, but you can get rid of it. because it's opening a door. Witchcraft and all of that stuff, it opens a door. It leaves a door open to the enemy. It's time to shut the door. It's time to shut the door. And the only way we can do that is to shut any door that's been left open to the enemy. Maybe it's an attitude. Maybe it's bitterness. That can be a door for the enemy to attack. Maybe it's music. Maybe it's someone. But we've got to identify the strong man, that whatever that spirit is that's attacking us. And we say, no, you got to leave. I'm not going to allow you in. God told Cain in Genesis, he said, sin lieth at the door. Some translations say sin is crouching at the door. It's waiting. It's just waiting for an opening. John chapter 5, Jesus went to the pool of Bethesda. There was a man there who had an infirmity for 38 years. And every time the angel would come and would trouble the waters, he was too slow getting in. Somebody else would get in and get the miracle before him. But Jesus said, rise up, take up thy bed, and walk. And he received a miracle. And then later we read John chapter 5, verse 14. It says, afterward Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. That's something. Remember the disciples when they saw a man that had been blind from birth, and they asked Jesus, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? In that case, Jesus said, well, neither. But it's plain to see there is a connection between sin and sickness. Okay? Now, if you're sick, if you're dealing with disease, I'm not saying that you have sin in your life. But we want to make sure. We want to make sure. So, Lord, I'm going to pray because I don't want there to be any open door. I don't even want there to be something I don't even realize I'm doing or saying or allowing in my home or something that's keeping that door open. And so if there is something, I pray that you would show it to me. I remember it was several years ago, and I'm trying to hurry, but there's a few things I've got to share with somebody that we were really just going through some spiritual attacks and just knew it was just trouble all the time. And we're talking about kids. They were little, but they were seeing things in the house, and it was just a crazy time. I don't have time to go into detail too much about it, but I was praying at the church. My wife was praying, and it was like the Lord showed me a little ball with a yin-yang on it, okay? And you know what that is, and most people would think it's harmless or whatever, but there is connections there with Eastern religions and all of that. And so I told my wife that, and so she got to looking through the house. We had moved in this apartment, this townhouse, and everything seemed to be clean, but for some reason she gets up on top of the countertop and looks up above the cabinets, and there was a ball with a yin-yang on it. I don't know where it came from. I don't know what was done with that. I don't know what all that represented. But I tell you what, I wasn't letting there be anything in our home that would leave the door open to something that would trouble me and my family and my kids. And so sometimes you might think, oh, well, I got a great deal on this used furniture, or I got whatever, these books at Goodwill, and I've done it too. But you don't know what that was a part of and what was connected to that. And so you may need to go through your home and say, Lord, lead me. If there's something here that's opening a door to some kind of spirit and something that's attacking my family, I've got to shut the door. So number two, shut the door. Number three, if you want to keep deliverance, live by God's word. Live by God's word. Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, he said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The word of God is alive. It is alive. It applies to every situation we could ever find ourselves in. Hallelujah. It works for whatever we're going through. There's a lot of things that compete for our attention, for our thoughts, to try to control us, but God guarantees us victory in every area if we'll live according to His Word. Hallelujah. That's why we got to read His Word. We've got to study His Word. We've got to know what it says so we can live by it. We ought to take to heart what the Lord told Joshua as he was about to enter into the promised land. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. You want to prosper? Live by the word. And then thou shalt have good success. You want to be successful, young man? You want to be successful, young lady? Live by the word of God. Hallelujah. Think the word. Speak the word. Act the word. Be doers of the word. Amen. It ought to touch every area of our life, the word of God. Number four, put on the garment of praise. Put on the garment of praise. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. There is power in praise. There is power in praise. Not every battle that we face is in the natural, okay? Some things, it just is a natural thing. You have a flat tire, it doesn't mean that the devil's taking something out on you. Not necessarily. Now, it might, but, okay, not everything is spiritual. But there are some times that there are things that are spiritual, and we neglect to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves, all right? There's some times that you're feeling, what is the spirit of heaviness? It's heaviness. I'm just dragging. I just do not, I'm depressed. I'm sad. I don't want to go to church. That's heaviness. Heaviness. I've been there. Has anybody been there? Do you know what I'm talking about? Okay. God wants to give you the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Somebody needs to realize, the only way you're going to get rid of that heaviness, you could take medicine for it. It's going to numb it. But when the medicine wears off, you're still going to feel it. But there is a promise in the Word of God that if you'll begin to praise and worship Him and magnify Him, it's going to change something in the atmosphere. It's going to change something in the atmosphere. There's power in praise. I can't tell you how many times I've been depressed. I've just been so sick and tired of being sick and tired. And all of a sudden I realized, hey, I don't have to feel like this, because God is able to do anything. And I live for Him, and He's working in my life, and He deserves the praise and glory. And I start to worship Him and praise Him, and maybe all by myself, I'm dancing before the Lord. Nope, I'm not dancing for you or anybody else. I'm dancing for Him and for me, because I need God to give me the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Hallelujah. I challenge you, Sister McCoy, she'll challenge you. If you're in that condition, you take 20 minutes and you praise God for everything you can think of. If you run out of stuff, get in the Word of God and just start praising God for the Word. Start reading some of those Psalms, some of those times where David was going through trouble and darkness, but he began to praise the Lord, and all of a sudden there's something changed in the atmosphere. It'll happen for you too. Come on, we got to keep our deliverance. We got to keep our breakthrough. We got to keep the blessings that God has given us. Hallelujah. All right, two more. I'm trying to hurry. How do we keep our deliverance? Prayer. Prayer. Three more, sorry. Galatians 5:16. Some of you are getting excited. I thought it was almost done. Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. How do you walk in the Spirit? Prayer is one of the main ways to walk in the Spirit. We're having this revival of prayer. What's a revival of prayer? Well, it's instead of having revival services each night, we're just asking the church to come to the church and pray. And I know it's not convenient. I know people are busy and you're tired after work and all of that kind of stuff. But if we can do this, if we can sacrifice, I believe God is going to bless this. Amen. We're trying to learn to walk in the Spirit because God has a work for this church to do, and He's wanting to bless and move in a mighty way. And so we've got to get the mind of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I've got to learn to walk in the Spirit so I don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Amen. People that mess up, people that have problems and go into sin, they're not praying. They're not praying. And, you know, they'll get offended if you say something like that, but they get offended because they're not praying. If they were praying, they wouldn't get offended. All right? So please don't be offended at Pastor. Just come and let's find a place of prayer and let's do this because we're trying to walk in the Spirit. There's some things that God is doing and He's blessing and He's working, but when people aren't praying, it's like God gives them this gift, and before they even get home, something happens that steals it away because they're not walking in the Spirit. They're walking in the flesh. When we're walking in our flesh, when we're not praying, when we're not sensitive to the Holy Ghost, we're led by our flesh. And the enemy, it's like he has a wide open door to attack us through. But there's something about when a child of God is praying and they're seeking God. It's not that there's no trouble. It's not that there won't be spiritual attacks. But there is a power that's there. And there's something in our mind that we've got our mind focused and we're headed in the right direction. And we're not distracted. We're focused on the things of God. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We've got to be praying. Number 6, speak life. If you want to keep your healing, if you want to keep your blessing, your breakthrough, you've got to speak life. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. Amen. You can either speak life or you can speak death. One of the number one ways that the enemy steals the blessing of healing in people's life is when he tries to send symptoms back. You know that God touched you. You know that God healed you. You know there was something that happened, but then all of a sudden you feel like, oh, well, maybe I didn't get my healing. And when you give voice to that, it encourages the enemy. There's sometimes you just have to say, oh, no, I reject that in Jesus' name. I don't accept that. And you start to quote the word of God. I want to tell you what, sometimes there's thoughts that come to you. Don't speak those things. Say, Lord, put a guard over my mouth. But then you get some scriptures that are true. The word of God is true. And you quote those scriptures. You speak them right back in the face of the enemy and say, no, I'm not receiving that voice of doubt, that voice of fear, that voice of unbelief. But let me tell you what the word of God says. I've got to hold on to my healing. I've got to hold on to the breakthrough that God gave me. I'm not going to let the enemy catch me up in my words, but I'm going to speak faith. John chapter 6, verse 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Whatever you're dealing with, whatever you're struggling with, get you some scriptures that apply to it, and you quote those scriptures all day long. Amen. You quote the word of God, and you stand on the promises of the word of God. Amen. Number seven, how do we keep our deliverance? Iron sharpens iron. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. We need the right fellowship. We need the right fellowship. There's some people, they're going to bring you down. There's some people you can get around them and literally 5 minutes in their presence and you're like, ugh, I just want to go crawl in a hole somewhere. I'm so depressed, you know. They just suck the life right out of you. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about. Okay, don't be rude to them, but sometimes you got to say, okay, I can't do that right now. I got to find somebody who's got faith. I've got to find somebody that's going to speak an encouraging word. We've got to have the right fellowship. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. When you study that out, it's actually more than what the King James Version translates it from the Greek. It could be better said, don't be deceived, bad company corrupts good character. Bad company. You need to get rid of bad company. You need to get rid of bad company. Sometimes you can come from a prayer meeting, and God's moving and he's working and he spoke some things to you, and then you go somebody, be around somebody who's carnal, and you lose it so fast. You've lost everything God's blessed you with because of a carnal joke or something that you didn't need to hear about, or they were complaining, or, you know, complaining about the church, complaining about the pastor, whatever it is, and you just, the enemy just comes and steals whatever God just gave you. Amen. Iron sharpeneth iron. You need to get around some people that are going to say, hey, we're going to stand on the word of God. We're going to walk in faith. We're going to believe God for the miracles. Come on, we're going to go forward in revival. We've got a city that we've got to reach for Jesus. Come on, you don't have to deal with that sin. You don't have to deal with that addiction. God wants to set you free. That's the kind of encouragement you need. Somebody's going to say, hey, come on, we can make it through this. We can make it through this. God's going to help us. Praise the Lord. Would you stand with me in closing tonight? Amen. The whole armor of God, the whole armor of God. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye should be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. That was a lot, but here's the deal. You got to have the belt of truth. Come on, we've got to love truth. That's what holds everything together, all right? We've got to have truth. We've got to have the breastplate of righteousness. Righteousness protects our heart. What is righteousness? It's doing right, doing what God says is right, what his word says is right. That protects your heart, okay? You're going to have attacks that come against your heart, but you got to have the breastplate on of righteousness. The shoes of the gospel of peace. In a world of turmoil and trouble and chaos, we need the Lord to help us bring peace wherever we go. When you walk in a room, people ought to feel peace. They ought to feel peace. Hallelujah. We had somebody tell us at the school, at Nixa High School, that when you guys show up, something is just like, it just feels so good. There's just a peace. And they didn't know exactly what it was, but that's the Holy Ghost. Amen. It's not me. It's not anything about us except for it's the Lord through us working. Thank the Lord. The shield of faith to protect us from the enemy's fiery darts. We've got to have a shield of faith. What are those fiery darts? They're distractions. Lord, help us to be wise about the enemy's distractions, that we can use the shield of faith to block those things, to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. Have you ever had something that got you and you're like, you get fired up? It's a fiery dart. It's a fiery dart. You just say, okay, hold up. I need the shield of faith right now. I'm not going to let this get me distracted for where God wants me to be. Praise the Lord. The helmet of salvation, it protects the head. It protects the mind. It protects our thinking. The battlefield is in the mind, folks. You better have the helmet of salvation on. The sword of the Spirit, that's the word of God. You got to know the word. You got to use the word. That's how you fight the enemy. And then the final weapon, many miss this one. Verse 18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. All prayer, that's the final weapon. Our sword may be limited in reach. The sword only goes so far. But I want to tell you about a weapon. It's an intercontinental ballistic missile in the Spirit. Prayer. prayer. You can be here in Springfield, Missouri, and you can send prayer anywhere around the world. Prayer can reach across oceans and continents and make a difference wherever it's needed. It's the power of something that's greater than anything we can do on our own, but we're linking up with heaven and we're praying in the power of the Spirit, and God can send angels to minister, and God can shake the foundations of darkness, and God can open doors. He can do all of that just in response to our prayers. Come on, keeping deliverance. We got to keep our deliverance, folks. We got to keep the blessings that God has given us. We got to keep the breakthrough that we get. Thank God for the breakthrough on Sunday in revival services. But what about Monday morning? Let's keep our deliverance. Let's keep that blessing of God. Hallelujah. Okay, that was a lot. I'm going to condense it up real quickly for you. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. It's a paradox. To save our soul, we must lose it. To save our life, we must release it. I see young people all the time that they're, you know, they've got everything all planned out and they're controlling everything and they're doing their best and they try to figure it all out and all that, but sometimes you got to say, okay, Lord, I don't know. I've got some dreams, I've got some plans, but God, I give it to you, and I want your will and your purpose. And I can remember some times in my life I had dreams and goals and things that I wanted, but somewhere along the way I said, okay, God, what do you want? And now that I look back, he's given me all those things I ever dreamed for. Because I would say, okay, Lord, your will, not my will, be done. Hallelujah. So we've got to deny ourselves, take up our cross, follow him. And we've got to be willing to say, Lord, just let your will be done. I give you everything. I surrender to you. I submit to your will and plan in my life. In the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I don't know what I mentioned that I'd preach about this. I don't know what you thought I was going to do. Maybe you thought I was going to be casting out demons or something, and that might be why some didn't come tonight. I don't know. If you do need that, I believe we're called to pray and to cast out demons, okay? We're not afraid of that. On the other hand, I don't want to pray for anybody if they're not going to keep their deliverance or healing or blessing or breakthrough, okay? So we've got to live in victory. We've got to live in victory. It's just discouraging to see people on a roller coaster relationship with God, up and down, up and down, up and down. Folks, let's get this together. Let's pray. Let's get in the Word of God. Let's trust God, and let's just go forward. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Would you link up with somebody again? This is different than what we'd normally do, but link up with somebody again, and let's just pray in closing. Lord, help us to keep our healing, to keep our blessing, to keep the breakthrough that you've given us, to keep the victory. I pray, Lord, that you would make a way. I'm tired of the ups and downs, Lord. I want to be solid on the right path to do what you've called me to do, Jesus. I pray that you will bless our families tonight. I pray that you will bless our young people, Lord. Help them to live in complete victory over every attack of the enemy. I pray that you'd help those who have dealt with addiction and struggles with the things of the world, God. I pray that you would set them completely free and help them to get in the Word of God, to stand on your promises, Jesus. I pray, Lord, for those that are struggling with anxiety and fear and all of these attacks on their mind. God, you have not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I rebuke that spirit of fear right now in the name of Jesus. And I speak peace. I speak peace to their life. I speak peace to their heart. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord God, I pray that you'd help us to have that life that you have promised us, and life more abundantly. I want those gifts, God. I want those blessings. I want everything that you have for me, Lord. I don't want to miss out on it. Don't let the enemy steal my joy. Don't let the enemy steal my victory. But God, help me to keep the victory.